Welcome to KC by Sari, a podcast for Kansas City enthusiasts. I'll take you behind the scenes and you'll learn why this Midwestern gem is so special. In today's episode, I talk to Maggie, aerialist and dancer. She's part of Quixotic and their current production, Whiskey Dynamite. Maggie shares with me the impact Quixotic had on her at an early age and what it means now to be part of the team. Here's Maggie to talk about the hard work and dedication that goes into each and every performance. I've been to three Quixotic shows now, and I have loved all of them. I think it's so fun. I love the overall vibe, all the performers. Every time I've been, it's something different, and it's just so unique. I don't feel like Kansas City has really had something like this before, and I've even been to other collaborations that Quixotic has done, like Powell Gardens and things around Kansas City. So for people who are unfamiliar with Quixotic, can you give a quick overview of what it is?
Yeah, that question is always kind of like a, like, how much time do you have kind of thing, because we do so much. We're an immersive performance group that fuses music and dance and aerial arts and technology together to create these really visually stunning experiences, whether they're like the immersive walkthroughs that are family friendly or even like the in-theater cabaret shows. We really do like a little bit of everything, and I think that variety and that flexibility in who we are and what we do keeps us unique and special to the city.
What is your role within Quixotic?
So I've been a core performer for since 2017, so 7 years at this point. And additionally, I mean, we all wear a lot of different hats in the group. I help with some staging. I help with some choreography. I'm a artist coordinator, so I help reach out to people. I help write creative concepts. And I think that's why I've really flourished and love it here, is because I get to wear so many hats and do so many things that are stimulating in so many different ways. And then on top of it all, I do quite a bit of aerial now, which is something I picked up when I joined the group 7 years ago.
Has performing always been something that you've wanted to do, or is that something that you found a love for later in life?
I cannot remember a time when I did not want to be a dancer, which I think is such like a trippy experience. Like, I've never not known how to do ballet. So I started with ballet when I was like 3 or 4. I don't even remember my first class. And so kind of like when my brain came online, I was already like doing ballet. I trained at Kansas City Ballet for 10 years. I was a part of a lot of their productions with the company and so on. And then I went to Indiana University because they have a really great ballet program. Thought I was gonna be on the ballet track. I was on the ballet track. And then life just kind of did that thing where it like slaps you in the face and like shoots you back the other way. I had previously seen a lot of Quixotic shows. Like back when I was like 13, I would watch Quixotic, you know, dance on the walls of the Nelson and stuff like that. So I had known about Quixotic. I had admired them for how different they were as a dance company. So I sort of just like fell into it, fell back into Kansas City and fell back into being here. And it's not, I never thought I would return to Kansas City, but it's really been the most fantastic, magical opportunity.
How'd you initially get connected with Quixotic when you moved back here?
So I had done like one little New Year's Eve show with them like 6 months before I had graduated. So I had known Anthony, and so I just messaged him and I was like, hey, I'm moving back into town. And so I just came and started taking ballet. A lot of us come from ballet backgrounds, so we have ballet 3 times a week. So that's kind of the way, that's the place where everyone gets to like connect. Just see if the vibe is good for you and for the group.
What has been your favorite experience you've had with Quixotic?
We've gone everywhere, all over the country. We've gone international. Maybe my favorite one-off experience has been, I don't know if you're familiar with like what wall dancing is. It's when you propel down a rope and then you're swinging and flipping on it. Me and another performer wall danced on this beautiful wall in Cabo, Mexico for Gala de Danza. So that was like all of these like top-notch dancers from all around the world came and put on this gala, and then we got to be on the wall, and that was amazing. More recently, like from like an artist development standpoint, we were in Denver last year for 6 months, and we got to bring our show Sensatia out there, and that was the biggest and most growth I've had with this company, being able to perform 4 times a week, just stretching like the limits of like being an expert at my craft and like the artistry and playing with your energy and also the audience's energy on stage. So that was absolutely one of my favorite experiences.
The wall dance you mentioned, I saw that when I went to Whiskey Dynamite recently, which was so fun because I hadn't seen anything like that before, and it was such a cool experience.
Yeah.
Looking at the stage waiting for the next performance, and then you see the lights shine on the wall and you're like, what's about to happen? And I think it's such a great example of how, especially within Kansas City, Whiskey Dynamite has really pushed boundaries, found new and innovative ways to capture the audience. And I really remember that part of the show. I thought it was so cool because I hadn't seen anything like that before.
Right, yeah. I think that's what's really special about that show is, I mean, you've seen it, like how immersive we try and get with the audience. Like we break the fourth wall, we're out in the crowd dancing, and then we hop back up on stage. And yeah, like all of a sudden you see like Meemaw and Peepaw over there in the audience doing the dance. And then you look the other way and there's people on the wall. So we have a really good time like doing the unexpected with our shows.
And there is so much of the show that is reliant on the audience participation. So how do you handle nights when maybe the audience is not as lively or as into the show as some other nights? Because when I saw Whiskey Dynamite, the audience was perfect. Everyone was so into it, following along with what was being asked, and you could just feel the vibe was like excitement. But I imagine there are times where sometimes the vibe is not quite that. So how does that affect you and your performance?
I think that the more experience you get as a performer, the more sensitive you are to that. I mean, we can always handle it, but like you can really, it's such like an intangible sense of like the energy that you're exchanging between the audience and you. Mm-hmm. There are nights that are just amazing. It's like being at a rock concert. Like it is so fun. You know, we do get some really rowdy people sometimes, like we've had to like kick people out and stuff, but I've always said like, hey, if we have one rowdy person in the audience, that means it was a good night. We've had nights, you know, where either it's not as many people or just the energy is a little more like lull. We still do it for us and have a fun time.
What is your schedule like in terms of rehearsals, working on new things, trying to learn maybe new skill, a new art form, something new to bring to the show? How much time do you really have to spend in each of those categories?
It takes so much time. Like, and I don't know if people would know that unless you were like a part of the performing arts industry, but like in terms of creating a new show, like we are writing and like conceptualizing the show like anywhere from 6 months to a year in advance. When we're within like the 2 month mark of opening a new show, it's crunch time. I mean, there are rehearsals like all day, all evening. We might even be doing a different show during the weekends, but we are rehearsing for the next show Monday through Friday. So we definitely try and take Sundays as a really hard off day because every other day is go time. The fun part is every day is very choose your own adventure. Like if you do, you know, you might have mandatory rehearsals, but oh, I want to start training this or working on this, or I'm going to create a new costume for myself. Like anything is possible.
What do you do for your own self-care when you are having those days where it's just rehearsal after rehearsal, you're working on show, the next show? What do you do to really help take care of yourself, both physically, emotionally, mentally?
I definitely sleep really well, which helps a lot. And then trying to eat well in between rehearsals or just making sure I get enough to eat. I mean, we burn a lot of calories. But really, like, I might work like a 12-hour day, but it doesn't feel like a 12-hour day at a desk job. Like, I love what I'm doing so much that even if my body is physically tired at the end of the day, my mind and like my soul feels energized. So in terms of self-care, there's not like a ton to ever repair because I feel so full like all the time, which I know is something maybe not everyone feels. So that just makes me feel really lucky.
That's so great, especially because it is so tiring on your body to be a performer. But oh, yeah. When something that you love being part of what Quixotic is doing and all these fun shows and how much is going on, you really can take your skill, like if you're wanting to bring something new to the table or learn something, and the energy everyone brings together is very special and probably not something you can necessarily find elsewhere.
Totally, yeah. And I think that's such a big part for like us as a company too, is like we've had, you know, amazing international artists come in to guest with us, but like at the end of the day, like if you're a diva, it's just not gonna work. I think everyone, all of our core members are so open-minded and goofy and willing to play around, like having that sense of play and like that sense of what if. I mean, the word Quixotic in the dictionary means wildly impractical, and that is like exactly what we do. Like we've had ideas and, you know, we're like, I don't know if this is going to work, and we just make it happen. So I think having that openness has been so important, and it makes us all really good friends, like in work and then outside of work too.
There's probably also a lot of trust within the team, especially the aerial work or the dance moves and everything that requires like physical trust with someone else when your body is being handled and you're handling someone else's body at the same time, which is also cool as someone who cannot even fathom like physically being able to do what you and everyone else is able to do. I'm sure there is that really big sense of trust that everyone has with each other as well.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, you saw in the shows, like you can see the guys who are pulling our ropes, and like you have to have a good relationship with your pullers. And both of our pullers are like two of my best friends. Same with my aerial partner that I duo with, like one of my closest friends. Like you have to have a good relationship because it's all built on trust.
Do you ever get ideas for future shows or something that you imagine would be cool to bring to a show? And are you able to bounce that idea off others and really bring that to life?
Yeah, I think that's like kind of why this is such a strong breeding ground for so many different and amazing ideas, is like there's not too much of a hierarchy. Like, of course, there's like our artistic director and executive director, but after that, anyone can really bring things to the table. You'd be surprised like who's come up with like the tiniest pieces of Whiskey Dynamite. Like it could, you know, our puller came up with the name of Whiskey Dynamite, like things like that. And that just comes from being friends and being able to bounce ideas off of each other.
What are some challenges you faced being a performer?
I mean, the physicality of it is definitely hard. And like back to the self-care thing, I didn't even mention like the acupuncture appointments, the massage appointments. That's definitely all a part of it. Serious injuries are probably the hardest thing as a performer. Not only does it take away like your identity and what you love to do, but it also takes away how you make money. So like I broke my foot 2 summers ago, and just having to get taken out of a show and then having no way of making money, even as like a dance teacher, that was like my first like real big injury. And I was just like, oh wow, like this is serious. One little moment can send you packing and sitting on the couch for 3 months. So it's tough. And that's something that I'll have to face again whenever my body decides it needs to retire. Hopefully that's not for like another, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, but it's a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. And in part of that physicality, and anyone who has been to a Quixotic show, it is, as you said in the beginning, it's so hard to describe because they're so magical and whimsical, but sexy and cool and different. But the things that you and all the performers are doing, like I said, as someone who is not a performer, it's like I have so much admiration, and I think it's so incredible. I think that's why I love the show so much, because for me, someone who it's just like beyond my physical imagination to be able to do, I think that it's just so incredible. Not only the concept in general, but each individual performance within the show is just so cool and unique. And like I said, it's not something, at least in Kansas City, I've ever seen be done before. Mm-hmm. And so are there any performances in particular that you've just really loved?
I mean, I go back to thinking of what I saw when I was 13. Still one of like the coolest, most immersive performances I've seen. It was at the Nelson Atkins Museum. And the audience was almost seated in the middle of these different stages of what was happening. So you might have like had to like crank your head all the way around, but there'd be a show behind you. And then all of a sudden the next, you know, scene lights up and you're looking to your left. That was so inspiring to see that it wasn't all just like red curtains and stages and the curtain closes and that's it. Like, there were other ways to perform. And so that's why it's crazy to me to like end up back at this company 10 something years later. I'm not that old. I think that was really, really special to see that so long ago.
And that's so special too, to be able to say that something from your childhood had such an effect on you that now it's a big full circle moment for you.
Totally.
In your life to be part of something that was so captivating to you as a child.
Yeah. That's a good word for it, like full circle.
Whiskey Dynamite is the show that is currently going on and recently announced that it's expanding through April.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, April 13th. So we only have a couple more weeks. And then after that, we will close it for a couple weeks. We've got a couple other shows going on, and then we will move it out to a different city.
How would you describe Whiskey Dynamite being different from Sensatia or past shows that Quixotic has done?
I think that Whiskey Dynamite, a lot of our shows have been whimsical, and that's one of the first words I would use to describe Whiskey. But I think that Whiskey is the first show to not be afraid to take itself so seriously. There are funny parts in Sensatia and some of the other ones that we've done, but this is the first one where we really embrace like the fuck it. Why wouldn't we try this? Like, let's go for it. It's very open-minded to itself.
KC by Sari is brought to you by our sponsor, Tap Intuit Fitness. Justine Tap won Best Personal Trainer in KC Magazine's Best of 2023. Justine offers a variety of training so you can find what works best for you. I've taken classes with Justine and can attest to her amazing ability to motivate and support you in your fitness journey. Now is the perfect time to start thinking about your goals, and Justine can help you reach them. For podcast listeners, your first session is free when mentioning KC by Sari. For more information, visit www.tapintuitfitness.com and schedule your first session. Now, back to the episode.
You mentioned, obviously, shows travel and means being gone from Kansas City, but when you are here and you're able to kind of take a breather, take a step back from performing, what does life in Kansas City look like for you?
I've met a lot of different friends, mostly through work. So I live with my dog and my cat and my boyfriend in Midtown. So Sundays are really special to be able to like go on walks or go to brunch. Hanging out with people when we do have free weekends or free evenings is so important. I like, me and my friends all love going to the parks around Kansas City, things like that. For the most part, it's like living and breathing this job and then go home and sleep and start it over. I mean, after shows, after our weekend shows, we like to go out sometimes to places like Green Lady. I don't know if you've been to In the Lowest Ferns yet or like The Ship, but those are like some of me and my friends and my boyfriend's favorite spots.
Where are some other, you mentioned going to brunch, where are some of your favorite restaurants in Kansas City?
Homegrown in Brookside is so good. Succotash, I'm a big brunch girl, so I'm going to my brunch places first. Banksia. Have you been to Banksia downtown?
No, where's that?
It's downtown. When I first met my boyfriend, he lived downtown too, so we'd walk over to Banksia. So good. We love Mission Taco. Billy's Grocery, I'm always like getting lunches there.
Billy's is so good.
Yeah, right? Friend's Sushi is the best sushi in Kansas City.
I have not been to Friends probably since pre-pandemic, which now it's March of 2024. It was 4 years ago, which is really crazy.
That is,
to think,
yeah,
about that. The official shutdown of the world was 4 years ago.
Makes no sense.
And to think about things in the span of, oh, I did this pre-pandemic, or I haven't done that since the pandemic, you know, post-pandemic. So yeah, it's always a weird mental shift when you're like, wait, let me take a step back. But yeah, Friend's Sushi is not a place I have been since before the pandemic.
I will yell it into the mic. It is the best sushi in Kansas City. They have the best miso soup, so
Yeah. They have a good happy hour deal, right? On Mondays, I think.
I don't know if they still have it. Okay. Blue Sushi has an all-day Sunday happy hour. That's a close second, Blue Sushi, for sure.
Take advantage of happy hours as much as most people. I think a lot of people, there's a big happy hour culture.
Yeah.
It's not something I ever took part of. I think with most of my jobs, I was always working a little late or
right.
You know, people who get off at 4. I'm like, what job are you at? What are you doing?
Right. You're
drinking a cocktail at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday.
It's such like a fun little excuse we've made up, like the concept of happy hour. They're like, you can have a pitcher of sangria at 4 p.m. It's happy hour. It's fine.
If you could change anything about Kansas City, what would that be?
I wish that we could put more of a spotlight on our nightlife. Restaurants are not open that late. Like, it blows my mind when things close at, like, 8 p.m. Maybe it's just because I'm working late, but, like, I wish that places were open later. Like, reverse happy hours used to be a thing at, like, Nara Sushi downtown, which closed. Like, I wish there were more reverse happy hours. I wish that our media and our leaders and just, like, our Kansas City culture in general, like, put more of a spotlight on the things to do at night that aren't just, like, going to a bar. You know, and I think that, like, to circle back to, like, what our company does, I do think we're trying to bring that little bit of Vegas nightlife into Kansas City. And there are plenty of other places that are, you know, they might be a bar, but they're more than just a bar. Or this place has amazing live music. And I don't know if we put enough attention on those things. I feel like we're very sports oriented and, like, go Chiefs. We love the Chiefs, but we're off season now, and now I think it's time for Kansas City to get out more and explore a little bit more of what there is, like, at night.
I do feel like so many places were open way later, pre-pandemic. And to your point, like, there are restaurants that close way earlier than you would assume a restaurant
right.
would close.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan and I, on the weekends, like to eat late. Like, we're typically not eating until 7:30, even sometimes as late as 8:30 or later.
Mm-hmm.
It has really surprised me. There are times, not all the time, obviously, but there are times where we're trying to find a reservation and I'm like, why is the only thing available 5 o'clock? I will not eat dinner at 5 o'clock anymore.
No.
What is going on? And even for a performer, I had Envy on the podcast last year, and she was talking about, like, especially as a performer, you're working these late hours. You know, we, as someone going to the show, you have dinner before you go to the show, great. You can grab a drink after, go home. But mm-hmm. for you, you're working, and you
right.
burned off all these calories. I'm sure you're so hungry. You're so tired after the show. Or you feel really lively after the show, and you're like, we're ready to keep it going. And, yeah, I mean, even, like, 11:30, midnight, it's really hard to find places that are open, and the lack of late night food in Kansas City has really baffled my brain. Like, I know there's Town Topic, that's great.
With a line of like 40 people outside of it
right.
at night, because
it's
the only
delicious,
place.
But it's the only place, and I have waited, I'm like so embarrassed to even admit this, I've waited like probably an hour and a half for food at Town Topic. And at that mm-hmm. rate, I could have just gone home and gone to bed. I would have been hangry,
mm-hmm.
but I would have just forgotten about it and right. been done.
Well, if I don't have groceries at home after the show, I will say Pizza Shuttle is open till 1 a.m. And Pizza Shuttle is amazing. So shout out to Pizza Shuttle for being open later than 11 p.m.
Are you getting their cream cheese pizza?
Yeah, it's the best. Cream cheese, mushroom, and pineapple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good combo. I am a pineapple on pizza kind of person.
Excellent.
I'm a big hot honey on pizza kind of
person.
So now pizza just doesn't taste the same to me without hot honey.
Do they have hot honey there?
I don't know if they have hot honey there, but Trader Joe's has a delicious thing of hot honey that I tend to go through.
I need to get that. I've seen it.
It's very good, and I highly recommend, because even if I do get pizza from a local place, we live within walking distance of Waldo Pizza, and
oh my gosh.
They actually have a gluten-free crust that I really love, and I go home and I just load up on hot honey.
That's genius. That is genius. Bring your own hot honey.
You know, like, whip it out of your bag and be like, okay, yeah, I'm good exactly. to go.
Always have it on me.
What is something that listeners would be surprised to learn about you?
I am really into fantasy novels. Like, okay. I feel like I'm awakening the 11-year-old in me who read all the Harry Potter books, like, way late into the night. So I've been reading a lot of fantasy on my off time, and they have, like, the silliest, goofiest covers. So it's, like, kind of, like, embarrassing to, like, carry the book around. But, yeah, I don't know if you were a Harry Potter kid, but I was. And, like, finding something like that again has been, like, just so fun.
I almost wish I was a Harry Potter kid because as a millennial woman who does not care for plants, is not necessarily a big Swiftie, and also has not a lot of knowledge of Harry Potter, I feel like I have no, like, I don't have anything in common sometimes with my peers. I was actually just a really bad reader as a child. I had, like, a hard time reading, and I wanted to love Harry Potter so bad. I would get so lost in the story. I tried reading the first book and finally was like, I think this is not for me. However, my fiance does have all of the books and has said to me as an adult that I should, like, go back and spend some time reading. Yeah. Now I'm big on audiobooks.
Good for you. I'm the opposite. I cannot listen to audiobooks because I will not pay attention. I think I'm, like, I've kind of learned over the past year that I am probably a little bit ADHD, which I think gives me so much, like, creativity to pull from, but also, like, cannot pay attention and focus to audiobooks at all.
Audiobooks were hard for me to get into at first because, of course, when you're reading a book, you're hearing it kind of in your own voice or the voices you imagine characters to have. And when you get an audiobook and you do not like the voice of the narrator or someone who's, like, making character voices for certain people, it can be hard to get over.
You're like, that's not how they sound. You're wrong.
Or when, if there's ever a child involved in a book and you have an adult who's trying to make a child's voice, can be a little like nails on a chalkboard. But timing wise, I used to love sitting down and, like, getting cozy and reading a book, and I just don't have the time anymore, but I love reading. I don't know if this falls into the category you mentioned, but have you read Fourth Wing?
I haven't yet. No, okay. I haven't. It's on my, like, short list.
I will say it was my book club book earlier in the year was Fourth Wing. I imagine it's a thick book because on audio, I think it's 22 hours, whoa, which is a little over double the average hour that I at least listen to an audiobook. I had someone explain to me what the summary was, and I was like, this is just not my thing. I'm a crime junkie. I'm here for the murder mystery, the husband always did it kind of story.
Right.
And I read the summary, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll give this a go. And everyone I've talked to about that book had same thing, has said, like, you read the summary to kind of, if you're not into fantasy, you're not really into this, you know, magical world, but the story is so great. So the second book in the series, Iron Flame, is almost 24 hours of audio. And I started it 20 minutes after I finished The Fourth Wing. Ooh. I was so into it.
Oh, wow.
I was visiting my sister, and I, like, had some time where I was like, I think I have to continue this. Which is how you know you found a good book.
I love that. Yeah.
22 hours listening to audio to dive right into another 23 hours of the same story.
Dang. Yeah, that's They're when good. You know it's good. Okay, I'll put that on my, like, shorter list. But, yeah, I recently quit TikTok, which I feel like is the modern-day version of, like, quitting cigarettes. And I'm like, let's go read a book instead. So I feel like it's opened up a lot more time. I don't have a lot of free time anyways, but a lot more time for reading, which has been nice.
Are there any influencers or performers on social media that you do follow that you get a lot of inspiration from, or people that you like seeing their stuff that you then want to take and kind of make your own?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I still use Instagram, and I feel like that's plenty enough, but it's really cool. That is the cool part about social media. Being a performer in the social media age is, like, I have like social media friends who I've never met in real life, but like we message back and forth because we admire each other or whatever. And so there's just so much inspiration that can seep into you, even if it's subconsciously. And then there's inspiration that's not even direct, like seeing like a beautiful video or painting or some sort of like AI created thing. And it just gives you ideas for whether it's dance or aerial or lighting, anything. You can really curate your algorithm to pull in as much inspiration as you want.
So you mentioned that Whiskey Dynamite will be traveling. Are you able to announce the city that it is going to next?
Yeah, I think I can. It's on the board over there. We're going to Denver. We're going back to Denver. We still have our theater out there and our partnership with the venue out there. So we'll be out there from like mid-May to the end of July. It's nice because we kind of went out last summer sort of being like these pilgrims discovering this new scene of Denver. But now we spent a lot of time making friends out in Denver and making connections, whether they're business or just personal. So we're kind of going back with a lot of people being really excited. Denver has my heart. Like, I have been a Colorado girl since I was like, you know, 8, and we would do, maybe you guys did this, but you know, everyone from Kansas road trips out to Colorado for the summer. And so it was so nice and special to be able to like perform, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week. And then the other days just like go up into the mountains. Ugh, it was lovely.
Yeah, it's so beautiful out there. Mm-hmm. Do you know, and are you able to share, when that show comes back, what the next lineup will be in Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, so we will come back to do our annual immersive walkthroughs, which is Terra Luna and Dark Forest. After that, it's a little open-ended. We have some ideas for maybe going back to doing more of a family-friendly show, like, you know, in a theater. We've been very much in the cabaret world for the past post-COVID, or even during COVID, I would say, since like 2019, 2020. Beyond that, it's really cool. We kind of get to steer the ship in any direction we would like. We'll also be opening a new show with our Miami team in middle of September. So it's a jam-packed year. It's going to be good.
The Dark Forest and the Terra Luna, that is another example of something that, in my opinion, really hadn't been done that much in Kansas City prior, and it's so unique. And the Dark Forest one's like has a little spook to it, which is so fun. And to be able to have something that is family friendly, all age friendly, and then turn around and have something that's a little more adult specific. And those shows are admittedly my favorite, just because I think they're they're cheeky, they're fun. We are going, my family is going to Vegas, actually Memorial Day weekend, and Dan and I are going to a show called Absinthe. And the way that he explained it to me, because I had never heard of it, he was like, just imagine what Quixotic does, but Vegas style. He was like, so I know you'll love it. And I was like, if anything is described as Quixotic style, I'm in. Now I'm so familiar with the shows. Like, I saw Sensatia. I actually might have seen Sensatia 3 times, if I'm being totally honest. And then Whiskey Dynamite once, which...
We love that.
Yeah, I'm here to support.
We love that. And we have people who come back to shows. I mean, even in Denver, we had one girl come back like something like 9 times. And, you know, we get those repeat audience members who just become like friends and like even almost like family, where we talk about it backstage, like, oh, so-and-so are sitting at their usual table. And then we get to go out to the bar afterwards and talk to them. And it's really special when like we have people come up and introduce themselves, because I think that's why me and a lot of the others are doing what we do, is like the human connection of it, like connecting with each other, like, you know, peer-to-peer, performer-to-performer during a show, but also being able to, like, talk to the audience, see what they thought, see how it affected them. I've heard really, like, touching stories that way. That's why we do it. So we love when people come back.
Well, I definitely recommend that people who have not seen Whiskey Dynamite make sure to get tickets before it leaves Kansas City for next month. But I definitely recommend going with someone that you think will enjoy it as much as you, because I think just as the audience is as important for the performer, you also want to make sure that you're going with someone who can vibe in the same way as you. Like, you want to make sure you go with girlfriends that can get into it, that cheers when they're supposed to cheer and really get into it. I know Dan also enjoys this stuff, which is why we have so much fun doing it as a couple. Because in a similar way, I think we just have a lot of appreciation for the art that goes into it, not just the entertainment part, but the actual complete production of it.
We pour our hearts into it, like months before the show even opens. And then every weekend that we do the show, it is our hearts in it.
Where can people follow you on social media, Quixotic? Where can people keep up with everything that is going on?
Oh man, we got all the Instagram handles. We have our main company, which is called at Quixotic Fusion on Instagram. Our page for Whiskey Dynamite is Whiskey Dynamite _. Whiskey Dynamite was already taken. and then my personal is just my full name. It's Maggie Andriani.
Thank you so much. This was so great. Clearly fangirling over here. I've loved Quixotic since I first came across it a couple years ago.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow Maggie and Quixotic on social media to stay informed on upcoming shows. Casey by Sari will be back next week with another behind-the-scenes story of a local apparel company. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss it. For more Casey content, follow me on Instagram at Casey by Sari. See you next week. Hey.